Well, we've been in a series called How Faith Comes. And we use in this particular one, we're using a Bible faith study course, Brother Hagin. But we've just taught out of these for years. But on Wednesdays, we teach on faith and healing. And it's just good to go over these things and just get them ground into you, because your eyes, the eyes of understanding, are just being enlightened continually. If you'll walk in the light that you have, then you'll get more light. And these things we need to be stirred up about. We need to have them solid in our lives. And I'm telling you, the more I go on and teach these things, the more understanding I get, and the greater the truths become to me, and walking them at a higher level. This is fun. It's fun to teach. And it's just building up. God's word builds up. And so we just stay on those subjects, and we'll do that unless we have different direction. But boy, over the years, I've just seen how that's just been such a good thing. And, you know, when you're focusing on faith and healing constantly, you know, your faith stays strong. And you're focused on the right things, and your faith for healing stays strong. And so you don't, you know, you can stand against things, and just thankful. That's what we want. We want to be strong in Him. So we've been talking about how faith comes, just talking about different facets, and really focusing. The essence that we've been focusing on is that, why don't we turn over to Romans 10:17 real quick. That's the text of this. Let's read that, and then we'll go on, so you just lay your eyes on it. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17, and then once you find Mark 11:23 too, we'll just read that, and then we'll go on. We'll read them together, one right after another. So Romans 10:17, and then find Mark 11:23 as well. We'll pick up where we left off last time. If you did not hear the previous messages, I encourage you to go back and listen to them, because they've just been building on each other, and your understanding will go higher. I mean, the things we were talking about last week, it's just, I know our understanding's going higher. You can tell, people are understanding. You can tell people's understanding level are going higher. You guys found Romans 10:17 and Mark 11:23. So Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say it comes by praying. It doesn't say it comes by begging. It doesn't say it comes by hearing somebody's testimony. It didn't say it came from, hearing about somebody's experience in God. It comes by hearing the word of God. Bible faith does. Bible faith comes by hearing what God said, and then your faith is got to be based then on what He said. So that's how it comes. You didn't get it by praying. You didn't get it by seeing somebody else do something. You got it because when you hear what God said, faith will come, but you have an opportunity to act on it or just to let it go by you. And that you can see this just with people being born again all the time. People hear the gospel and they can receive it and say, I believe that, and act on it. They could be in a hotel room watching a TV and hear the gospel. They could be somebody, their friend could be telling them. And if they'll hear the word of God, you know, they don't even necessarily have to know where all the scriptures are, but if they'll hear the word of God and act on it and believe it, I mean, the faith is there, but if they'll choose to believe, they can be born again, right, like that. But then, you know, a lot of people can hear it and say, nah. But faith was there. That's how faith comes. Faith is coming by the word of God. It carries. You hear the word of God, then you choose whether or not to believe it. Faith is there, But you can choose not to believe it, and people choose not to. And so that's the way it is in any area. You can hear the word of God on healing, and you can say, nah. Or you can say, I believe it. Why would you believe it? You believe what you heard. You don't believe because somebody had a testimony. Testimonies encourage us to use our faith, but they don't give us faith. You can't act in faith based on what somebody else had for an experience. You can't say, so-and-so did something, and so I'm going to do it too. That's how you get into trouble. So-and-so had this result, so I'm going to do it too. Well, where's your quote-unquote faith based on? It's based on what you heard somebody else do. Well, that's not the same as believing God. That's not the same. God did not tell you to do. Unless God told you to do what somebody else did, you don't have anything to stand on. So that's not faith. That's not Bible faith. Look over in Mark 11, 23. Look at 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So it says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Does not doubt in his heart. See, faith, it says in Romans 10, it says, with the heart man believes. You believe with your heart, you don't believe with your head. So you don't believe with your senses. You believe with your heart. You hear the word of God, but you choose to believe it with your heart. Your heart is your spirit, the real you. Your real you, you're going to always live your spirit. You have a soul, that's your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. Your body's going to go into the ground. Now, we'll get a recreated body, and you know, those parts are going to come together in a new body, and thank God for that. But your body is passing away right now as we speak. It's true.
You should be 10 pounds lighter.
No, you're not getting 10 pounds lighter, but it's passing away. It's not getting lighter. It's decaying. Right now, your body's decaying. When I said that, 20 seconds ago, your body has decayed since then. You say, well, no, it's not. Sure it has. As time passes, stuff is getting, you're closer to leaving this earth now than when I just said that 30 seconds ago. Now, that's not a bad thought. You're going to be with God, but the point is, your body is not eternal. This body is not. And the stuff you see in this earth is not eternal. It's subject to change. We're all changing right now. It's just too slow for us to see. But this is withering away. This world is withering away. So why put so much stock in this world? Why put so much stock in what you see? Well, this is solid. Well, no, it's not as solid as you think it is. A lot of stuff that was made 100 years ago doesn't exist anymore, is in very poor condition, and the stuff that is in good condition is sitting in somebody's room or something. They've polished it up or restored it, but a lot of stuff is just gone. Huh? You drive down the country and you see a house that's fallen in on itself and broken down and gone. Nobody, it's decaying. That's what's happening. So it's changing. So why would you put so much stock in what you can see as if that means something? It wasn't here, most of it wasn't here 100 years ago or 200 years. I mean, some stuff is, but even that, it's changing. The earth is changing. See, that's nothing to put your confidence in and to say, well, look, my body is like this. So what? Stay around another 10 minutes, it'll change. So why would you say that's so important? I just can't get past it. I mean, it looks like this. Okay, so what? It'll change. It will change. It will change. Look, even if your body is hurting right now, eventually that'll go away because you'll be dead. It's going to change. You say, no, it's going to change. Well, it will change, and it is changing. It's not solid. So why would you put faith in it? God's word, on the other hand, will never pass away. It's the most solid thing you can base anything on. That's what faith is. See, his word does not change. If he said it, and you look at your body and say, well, my body looks like this, but his word says something contradictory, guess what? One of them has to change, and it's not going to be God's word. Is that too simple? That's what faith is, believing his word and acting in like that's true, regardless of what you see or feel. See, we talk about how faith comes, what comes by the word of God. That's so important, because people have weird ideas about faith. And they think it's this, this spiritual, religious type of, do you have faith? And I'm really trying to have faith. Well, when you understand what faith is, it simplifies the whole thing. It's just believing God's word, and you believe with your heart, you don't believe with your head. And that's what we got into the last two times, talking about what it looks like when, you know, you're just trying to mentally agree with God's word versus you believe with your heart. When you believe with your heart, you're not going by what you see. You're going by what he said. And if you start saying, well, why isn't it working? Well, then you just located yourself, because how would you know it's not working? Because of what you see? Well, you just located yourself. You're not looking. It's not faith. You're not looking at God's word, because God's word doesn't change, and so your faith ought to be constant. We spent some time on that. I encourage you to go back and listen to it. It can help you. It'll help. It will help you. It will help anybody. It's so simple, but the light of God's word, as it shines on our where our understanding is, and it'll show up, and you can locate what you've been believing. And so many times, this is what trips people up, is that we're looking at the natural. Time and time again, we're looking at the natural. We're looking at how we feel. We're looking at what we see, you know, paying attention to what we see. And that's not how you get very far on this earth walking in faith, because you're going to be tempted with circumstances and with feelings. And if those determine what we do, or if we believe, or that's the wrong word in this context, but how we determine if God is working, we're going to miss it time after time. To get what God has for us on this earth, we're going to have to push through some junk, push through some feelings, and walk by faith and not by sight. Didn't the Bible say that? We walk by faith, not by sight. But if you can get pushed, the enemy will bring circumstance and bring your attention to circumstance. That's one way to put it. You're going to, like we've been talking about on Sundays, events will come. Storms will come, but you can walk through the storm and be focused on God's word and come out on top. But make no mistake, the enemy, Satan, will bring your attention to the circumstance and try to get you to look at it and say, see here, look at this. You're not going to make it. This isn't working. Because look, feel, hear, look around you. It's not working. That's what you'll hear. But it'll sound more like yourself saying, I don't know, why isn't it working? I mean, I can't see, you know, why isn't this happening? Well, you can't go by that. If you don't push through that and say, no, God's word says it. God's word says this. God's word says it. That's how you get through. If we are going to walk by sight, we're going to be defeated. But we have to understand faith is based on God's word. Everybody say it. Say, faith is based on God's word. On his word. Alone. Bible faith is based on that. See, human faith is not. Human faith wants to see and touch and feel. And that's different than Bible faith. So let's turn over to, I want to show you an example of this. Turn over to John 20. Once you find John 20, and then find Romans 4. You just were in Romans, but Romans 4. Hold your finger in Romans 4. We'll get there in a minute. And look at John 20. Romans 4. We'll get there in a bit. We'll go down, but yeah, you just hold your finger in Romans 4, and then John 20, verse 24. Everybody find it? John 20, verse 24. We'll read there in a second, but here's the thing. If you're going to wait, this applies to everything, every area, but if you talk about healing, if you're going to wait till your symptoms disappear and you feel all better before you start believing, you're going to miss it. That's not faith. That's walking by sight. And that's where a lot of people are. They're saying they pray and then they attempt to believe God and they're waiting till they see a change before they say they have it. That's backwards. That's like Thomas here that we're going to read about. It's exactly backwards. It's not faith in God's word. Go look at John 20, verse 24. It says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I what? I will not believe.'" He didn't say, "I can't believe." "I won't. I won't believe it. I don't believe it." They saw Jesus, and they said, he said, "No, I won't believe it. Unless I can put my finger into the print of the nails, unless I can put my hand in his side, I won't believe it." You know there's a lot of people like that on the earth? Prove it. Prove to me God's real. Prove to me Jesus is real. I'm not going to believe unless I see it. If God's so real, why don't he show me? Wrong attitude. That's the wrong approach. God's under no obligation to prove himself to anybody. But we got to be careful in our own lives that we are looking at the right thing and we're not saying, "Well, I got to see and then I'm going to believe." As people start out, they say they're believing, but they're really saying, is it working yet? What do they mean? Have my symptoms changed yet? So we're waiting to see and then say, "Oh, I believe." Well, it's too late to believe once you see. See, I'm not getting on Thomas's case here. I mean, but we're using it as an illustration because who knows what we would have done in the same situation. But he had an opportunity when they told him about Jesus to believe. But he didn't. He said, "I won't. Not unless I see it. I have to see it. So, verse 26, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." See, Jesus had his new body. It can do some stuff on this earth. Go right through a door. That's no big deal. It's different. 27, then he said to Thomas, "Reach your fingers here and look at my hands, and reach your hands here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Well, that's like you and me, right? We haven't seen him. We weren't there. Nobody was here. Now, none of you were there when he rose from the dead. Yet you believe. Well, how do you believe? You believe because of testimonies like this that were passed down. Somebody told you, you saw it, you read it somehow, but you believe, but not because you saw. So we don't want to be like this where you feel like you have to see before you believe. That's not Bible faith. See, Bible faith is based on what God said, not what you see. Thomas believed because he saw Jesus with his physical eyes. He relied totally on his senses. But we believe in Jesus' resurrection because the Word of God says Jesus was raised from the dead, and that's how you're saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, people say, I believe in divine healing because I saw so-and-so get healed. You realize that's wrong? That's not the right way. You don't believe in divine healing because you heard of somebody get healed. That won't help you in getting healed. That won't, I mean, somebody could say, well, I've seen it, so I guess I believe that that's true, but you can't receive based on that. You don't believe that being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues is real because you heard somebody speak in other tongues. You believe it because you see it in the Bible. That's how it's going to work. And even there, see, people, talk about this for a second. People, it's not that hard to get filled with the Spirit. It's not. People have made it really hard. Do you know how you do it? By faith. Like everything else. And it's the easiest thing in the world, but you got to get out of your head. You got to shut your head down, because your head will say, this is the stupidest thing. I'm making this up. But what you know what you do? The Bible says, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will be given if you ask. And you read, if you go through and read in Acts, the different examples where people were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had hands laid on them. Some were just, they had the word preached to them and they just started speaking in tongues. But God is no respecter of persons. So if we believe him, and that if we ask, he said, it will be given. So you know what you do? You ask and you say, God, I believe that being filled with the Holy Spirit is your will. I mean, you look through the scriptures. And somebody could pray with you, or you could just say, Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit right now. And in faith, see, the Bible says, we're not teaching on this now, but this is just an example. It says in Acts 2:4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you, by faith, you say, like if I were praying, what I do usually, I pray with people and say, now when I lay my hands on you, because in several of the instances, hands were laid on them. When I lay my hands on you, the Holy Spirit is going to come on you. Something that is not like English is going to just rise up in you. When it does, speak it out. Yield to it. And if you believe that, I'll pray, and you can do this by yourself. When you say, Lord, I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit right now. You act on it, and when the Spirit comes on you, you just start speaking it out, and you just jump in. And some people say, well, I'm waiting for God to, they're confused. They think God is going to somehow move their lips. No, he's not going to take you over. The devil tries to take people over. God does not do that. No, you just yield to it. Just jump in and believe. See, people are waiting to feel something before they act on it. And if you just say, God, you said, it says in your word that you would give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So I believe, I ask, and I have it, and here we go. And as that comes up, you just jump out, and boom, it's easy. Seen a lot of people. That's exactly right. You open your mouth, and God will fill it. Let me let you in on a little secret. when you're there are so many things like preaching and giving a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues and interpretations. You don't get the whole thing at once. People don't realize this. You step out in faith, you might have one word and you start going, and it takes faith to say the word and start going, and then God will fill your mouth. People say, well, they just got the whole thing. I wish I could do that. No, it's by faith. And that's the way all of it is. It's by faith. You're never going to get to a place where you're not walking by faith with God. People say, well, I just want it all to fall on me now. It's not going to happen. It's not that God is just withholding, but faith pleases him. And so we're going to have to walk by faith. So you don't base what you believe based on what you somebody else's experience. Well, I saw that. I saw somebody get healed, so I believe in healing. That won't get you healed. Well, so-and-so got healed, so I believe I can be healed too. That won't get you healed because they don't heal you. I believe that same thing can happen to me. Well, good, but why do you believe that? It's got to go back to something God said. Amen. Amen. If he said it, then you believe it regardless of what you see, regardless of what you feel. So this is what Thomas was walking by sight. Go over, you got your finger in Romans 4? Go to verse 17. Romans 4, verse 17. Everybody there? It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God. This is talking about Abraham. Who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, this is a different thing than what we saw with Thomas. See, we need to believe what the Bible says, what God says, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we hear. We need to develop our faith to a place where we believe what the Word says, regardless of circumstances or symptoms. Then we're believing the right thing, and that's what is going to bring results. See, Thomas believed because he could see. Once he saw, he said, I won't believe anything until I see. Now contrast that with Romans here and Abraham. Look at Romans 4:17 again. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. See, God does that. He calls those things that don't exist as though they what? They did. Well, if God does that, we're Christians. We're in his family. We ought to act like our father. Right? It's not weird to say something and call something into existence when it isn't, because that's what God does. People say, well, that's lying. No, it's not. If he said it's true and it doesn't look like it's true in this realm, he's right. And so we agree with him. You say, well, my body hurts. We're not denying your body hurts. Okay? This is not about denying symptoms. People have gotten the wrong idea. And they think somehow, like what we believe the Bible says, the Bible teaches, is somehow you deny, you just act like it's not there. That's not what this is talking about. No, your pain is real. Your symptoms are real, but there is something more real and more powerful than what your body is telling you, and that's God's word. That's what we're talking about. Not saying you're not hurting, not saying there's not a condition, not saying it doesn't have a scientific name, but there is a God that has purchased our healing, and that power will override anything in your body and make it whole if you'll believe him over your circumstance. That's what we're talking about. Not denying what's there, saying something supersedes that, if we'll believe it. That's a whole different thing, and that's what you see an example of here with Abraham. See, verse 18, who contrary to hope, Abraham, in contrary to hope or in expectation, in contrary to what would be normally expected, in expectation or in hope, he believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. See, God told Abraham he was going to be made the father of many nations. The man is old and his wife has never had children. If you're going by sight, you say this can't happen. But he looked at God's word, not on natural. Not on what he could see. He didn't look at those things. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Notice that. Not being weak in what? Faith. He wasn't weak in faith. He was strong in faith. And what did he do? He did not consider his own body. That means he did not look at circumstances. You don't think those you think you have circumstances. You don't think his circumstances were in his face? You don't think he had thoughts? You're crazy. You are an old man. And your wife has never, in her prime, she didn't bear children. Now she's going to bear a child? What did he have to go on? God's word. If God said it, the God who created the heavens and the earth and created my body, maybe he knows something I don't know. I'm going to believe him, and I'm not going to consider my body. My body looks like it's dead. Looks like this is impossible. But it said he was not weak in faith. He did not consider his body. He considered it not. He didn't waver at the promise of God. Notice, so where Abraham's called the father of faith. Notice how he acted. He acted on the promise of God. This is faith. He didn't have any reason other than what God said to expect a baby to be born. It doesn't make any sense. It's not naturally, you know, possible, but God said it, so his faith was on what God said. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't say, well, I don't know. No, God said it. And he acted on that. He looked away from his body. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Notice this. Being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. If God said it, he's able to do it. And that's the essence of what we're talking about. Faith comes by hearing what he said. That is faith. You don't get off that. If he said it, he can do it. What's my job? To make it happen? No, my job is to believe him and to believe he can do it. This, everybody say, it's not my job to make it happen. It's God's job to do that. See, sometimes we're trying to make it happen. I'm just going to believe real hard. Well, you're acting like you're going to get it done. That's not your job. I just got to believe. I mean, I'm trying, God, I'm trying to believe. Well, quit trying. Just believe. Believe what? Believe that he'll do what he already said he's going to do. Your job is just to believe that he can do what he said he could do. That's not hard. See, a lot of people are trying to get done by their quote-unquote faith. They're trying to muscle it, like as if they're the one that's got to heal themselves. I believe hard enough it can happen. No, you just need to believe that he has already provided it and already promised it and that he can do what he promised. That's a lot easier. But it doesn't look like it. This is where the challenge is. You just say, Lord, I don't see it, I don't feel it, but I believe what you said. I'm going to let you do what you do. And I'm not going to be moved off it. That you can enter a rest. You can start resting. See, if you're trying real hard to believe, you're doing the wrong thing. Now, I didn't say there is not a fight of faith. There is. You know what the good fight of faith is? To stay in faith. To keep your eyes on what he said and not on other stuff. That is the fight. The fight is not to get it done. The fight is to keep your eyes off the natural. To keep your eyes on his word. Because you know as well as I do, all you got to do is just walk around this earth for a little while and it is trying to bring your eyes back to the circumstance and off his word. And that's the fight. Right there. You could be looking at his word, and then the next thing you know, you come to yourself, and your mind is spinning with all this stuff. How am I going to do this? What about this? What about this? And you're like, I was on him. And you put it back on him, and the next thing you know, it's on your circumstance. What about this? Anybody ever experienced that? That's the fight. We need to put it back. We need to consider him. We need to put our focus on him. Praise God. That's good enough. Hallelujah.